Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are studying Paul's letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, this is God's word. "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle, going about from house to house. Not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain," and "The worker deserves his wages." Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly, so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, there's a lot here, and quite frankly, I'm not sure we'll get through the whole chapter this morning, but let's start and see how far we get. Paul is writing to Timothy. I keep reminding you of that. He's writing to Timothy, whom he has left in another place in order to shepherd that church that has gotten started there, and they need a lot of shepherding. When I was pastoring my first church on Cape Cod, some people asked me, you know, what is it like? And I said, well, I'm used to churches having people in them who say, well, in the last church I was in, we did it like this. On Cape Cod, we didn't have that, because the people who are coming to our church hadn't been in church. Their parents hadn't been in church. Their grandparents hadn't been in church. And so instead of saying, well, I always did it this way in my old church, instead they came and they were like, how do you do this? That was more the situation here that Timothy is dealing with. He's having to teach people a lot of things and establish how things should be done, and Paul is giving him instruction about how to do that. Now remember, Timothy is a young man. And in the previous chapter, Paul told him, don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth. That doesn't mean you go around and say, you can't look down on me. That means you don't let other people's attitude about your youth keep you from doing what God has called you to do. So, in terms of how to get along with these people of various ages, the chapter starts out, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. What if you see what if you're a young pastor and you see an older man who's really doing wrong? Can he be rebuked? Well, yes, sometimes a rebuke is needed, but don't be harsh, he says. Instead, exhort him as if he were your father. How would you treat your father? I hope with respect. Well, what if your father is not a very respectable person? He's still to be treated with respect because of his position. You treat people with respect based on their position. Doesn't mean you have to go along with what they say or what they do, or you have to like them or have to hang out with them all the time. But he's saying, treat him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Now, you say, well, okay, well, I mean, that was, I can see where that was good for Timothy. That applies to us as well. Should we not learn from this example in the way that we relate to other people? Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Now, what does that mean? Well, the way that the office of deacon came into being back in Acts was that there were widows who were being neglected in the distribution of food. And so because it was the Hellenistic widows who were being overlooked, they chose a bunch of Hellenistic men who would know that network of people in the church and made them deacons, servants, guys who were responsible to take care of those who were in need. But Paul is writing here about who's supposed to be on the list. Okay? There's supposed to be a list. You should know who they are. And he says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Some of the wealthiest people I've known in my life have been widows. Okay? The church doesn't need to come around and bring them food baskets. Understand? They can financially pay for the whole food basket ministry of the church. And that would be an appropriate thing because they've been blessed. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Okay, does this mean that if my mom is on drugs and she wants me to give her some money to pay her electric bill, that I'm supposed to do that? No, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. Because if a person has an addiction that is eating up their finances, You do not help them by supporting their addiction. You could go to them and say, look, I'm really concerned about you. You're killing yourself. And I want to urge you to get into treatment, and I'll facilitate that if you're willing to get help. And they may say, blankety blank blank blank, get out of my house. Or they may finally say, you're right, I know I need help. I've seen both responses. But your job is to help, not enable. You're not showing love for someone by enabling their self-destruction. So if they're genuinely in need, then help them. Help them with what they really need. This is pleasing to God, whether it's parents or grandparents.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name. And
Paul says we need to help those who are genuinely in need. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. That's who you're trying to help here. Timothy, you're trying to help the people who don't have other resources and they're crying out to God, and you are the answer of prayer. The church should step up and take care of those people. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. I thought that was what retirement was supposed to be all about. Okay? You can finally just live for pleasure. Just do whatever you want. Isn't that what we all aim for? We're going to work hard for a number of years, and save up a bunch of money so that we can retire and just live for pleasure. God forbid. God forbid. If that's your target, you're aiming the wrong direction. We're not supposed to live for pleasure. Well, are you saying we're not supposed to have any pleasure? No, I'm saying aim to serve God and serve others. And as you do so, you will find tremendous pleasure in doing the things that God has gifted you to do. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. Paul's saying, I know these people don't already know this, so don't go and rebuke them and say, why did you do that? Instead, go and say, let me give you some instruction here. Give the people these instructions too. Don't just keep it to yourself, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, in the old English, it's worse than an infidel. When I told my sons that we were going to move up here and live in the woods and start a children's home, there was nothing on this property except Kirkland Hollow, the front part of it, which was in the process of collapsing into the crawl space. I mean, this was raw land. And I told my kids, and they had different responses. My son Paul, for whom that would be most difficult, gave a very nice and positive response that he trusted me. My son Andrew said, I would be willing to wear rags and live in a shack if we could move to the mountains. So that kind of fits, doesn't it? My son Clayton, who is now my boss here at the ranch, was, I think, about 11 years old at the time, and his response was, what? There won't be anybody for me to marry except hillbillies. He said, how much money are they going to pay you? And I said, there's no promise of a salary. What? What is that verse about a man who does not provide for his own family is worse than a what? And I said, infidel. And he said, exactly. You see, he already knew the scriptures. You have a responsibility to provide for your family. Realize that. If you're going to marry, gentlemen, you need to be looking at how you're going to take care of that family. That's your responsibility before God. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, he gets down to some real specifics here that are hard for most of us today to accept. This just doesn't seem right. We better take this to heart, because what this does is it pulls the rug out from under most of the programs that Christians are supporting today. Got it? No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she's over 60. Oh. Has been faithful to her husband. Oh. And is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Well, what if she didn't do that? Then don't put her on the list. Well, what if she's 58? Wait until she's over 60. I mean, is this really in the Bible? Yeah. Look at your copy. Right there in 1 Timothy chapter 5. So if I become a widow, I need to be sure I'm doing this stuff. Yes, and if you're not a widow, you need to be doing this stuff, because this stuff obviously started before she lost her husband. This is a reflection on how she lived her life. You're to live a life that is full of good deeds, bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoted to all kinds of good deeds. That's what you ought to be doing now. It's not somebody who started doing that after they became a widow and turned 60. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. Really? Yeah. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Is he saying that marriage is not good? No. What he's saying is that breaking your promises is not good. You see, Paul encourages them to marry and to live godly lives. But if you say, no, I really feel called of God to singleness. I believe the Lord has directed me, now that I'm a widow, to just devote myself to serving the Lord, serving other people through the ministry of the church, and that's what I'm going to be devoted to. Then stick with it. Stick with it. That's a legitimate thing to do, but Paul says he has seen so many cases where somebody said, yeah, I'll do that, and then they started being supported by the church in their ministry as a single person, and pretty soon, they weren't serving the Lord. They were living for pleasure. They were not only idle, that is, not working hard, they were busybodies, going around and gossiping. He says, that's absolutely wretched. So he's saying that this could happen to people who are in the church. Yes. The fact that somebody has prayed a prayer and started coming to church, they may even be actually born again. But that doesn't mean that they continue faithfully in obedience to Christ. So Paul's saying, don't put the young ones on the list. Just don't do that. He's not saying all young women have to marry. He's saying don't put them on the list of those the church is supporting because they're widows. Okay? Well, then what am I supposed to do? Paul says, I'd recommend marriage. And elsewhere he says, as long as it's a believer. It doesn't mean you can just marry whoever looks good. Whoever you marry needs to be first and foremost, a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Ladies, if that's not the number one thing you're looking for in a husband, you're looking in the wrong place. The number one thing is their relationship with the Lord. And gentlemen, the number one thing you should be looking for in a wife is their devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard me say before, I fell in love with my wife before I ever saw her. She came into a room where I was seated in such a way that I couldn't see where she sat down. We'd never met before. Someone called on her to share her testimony, and as she started talking, I thought, there is somebody who loves Jesus like I do. And I began trying to see around the pillar that was next to me, so I could see who this was. And I was pleased with what I saw. But it wasn't one of these deals where I saw somebody really good looking and thought, I'll bet she's a Christian. You understand? The relationship with Jesus has to come first and above all else. So, if any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. You understand what he's saying? The church is to help those who are really in need within the church. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So what do we learn from this? That we are to love, that we are to give, but we are to be wise. If we're really going to care for the people who need it, we need to focus on the people who we know need it. Because they don't just need money, they need relationship. My friend who ran Knox Area Rescue Ministries for years, Bert Rosen, when he would look for volunteers, would say, we really appreciate your financial support, but let me tell you, we really need for you to start coming on a regular basis and spending time at the mission so that you can begin to develop a relationship with these people, because they desperately need not just a meal, but to know that somebody cares about them. so that you can tell them about how God cares for them. That's what it's about. Especially, we do things for those who are of the household of faith.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.